Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When the seed of the gospel is sown, it can land in receptive soil or in soil that will not allow the seed to germinate. Today, more on how some seed lands where its hearers will accept it and be fruitful. To learn more, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer continues a series from the Parables of Jesus, a series he's calling You Can't Redo Life. Listen now as we turn again to Mark chapter 4 and learn about getting conversion right.
But now we come to category number 4, and that's what we've been waiting for, isn't it? But those, verse 20, that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Now, you know, I was born on a wheat farm. We had some cattle, but primarily we grew wheat and some oats, maybe also some wild oats at times, at least my brother. But I know something about planting. We thought that for every bushel of wheat that we planted, if we got 30 bushels in return, that was really great. If we got 40, 50 was unusual and only happened every once in a while. Now, Jesus here is saying 30-fold, hey, that's great. 30-fold, 60-fold, that's beyond the limit. 100-fold, there's no way that you could expect to get 100-fold. There may be some things that you get 100-fold in. Usually it's weeds, not wheat or oats or barley. But Jesus said that the life where the soil was good doesn't mean that we as humans are good. It means that the soil received a wonderful welcome and was deeply rooted, that soil bore fruit. And by the way, that's the only soil that really has the assurance of salvation. It's the only real evidence that you and I have that somebody has been converted when they become fruit-bearing Christians. And we begin to see evidence of the new life that God has implanted within them. Now, what I'd like to do is to give you three lessons that I hope that you never forget. It's easy for us to forget, but don't let Satan snatch this out of your mind. First of all, notice this, that even though all of the soils received the same seed, only one really bore the fruit God intended. And that means that there are degrees of receptivity for the Word of God. Today I'm preaching to a lot of people here at the Moody Church, many who have joined us by way of the internet. This message is going to be on the radio, God willing, and will be heard by many thousands of people. And there's going to be a variety of responses. Some are going to say, yes, I get it, I understand. And those are the Christians who say, I know that my roots are real, that the gospel has done its work in my life. Others are going to blow it off and simply say, we've heard all this before. And they are uninterested because their hearts are hard. This past week, I met a man who debates atheists. I wish I had met this man a few months before I debated an atheist a few months ago. And he said this. He always asks atheists this question. I love it. He says, if I ask you two questions, will you give me an honest answer? And they say, of course, yes. And the first question is, will you give me an honest answer to question number two? Every atheist, of course, says yes, because remember, atheists also are created in the image of God, and because they're created in the image of God, they have a sense of morality, a conscience, etc. Their conscience and their morality did not come from atheism, but it comes from the fact that they are God's special creation in his image. So they always say yes. And then he asks them this question. If Christianity were true, would you become a Christian? Most of them think about it for a moment, and some of them say no. Well, what's this debate all about here? How much evidence would it take to convince you? The answer is none, because even if it were true, you wouldn't become a Christian. In other words, it does not matter. The evidence is irrelevant. And what that means is a hard, determined heart. But let's not think that that's relegated to atheists. It's relegated to church people who are willing to come and listen but are indifferent to God and indifferent to the gospel. And so please keep in mind that when we speak about hard hearts, it doesn't mean somebody who's angry. It means somebody who's comfortable without God's forgiveness and grace as it is found in Jesus. So please keep that in mind. The response is different in the lives of different people. Secondly, second lesson, and that is that it is the Word of God, the gospel, which will become clear in a moment, it is the Word of God that produces the miracle, not the sower. The sower who sowed the seed may not have been dressed too well, he may not be very educated, but ultimately, if the miracle is going to happen, it's going to happen because the Word of God, the seed, fell onto soil that was willing to receive it and accept it. That's really the key to witnessing. Now, I might say that sometimes the sower gets in the way of the seed. If you're going to sow the good news of the gospel to those with whom you work, your friends, and so forth, don't trample on them at the same time, because as I mentioned, those who were along the path, that path was hard because many people had walked over it. So the integrity of the sower oftentimes is important for the receiver to accept. But at the same time, when the miracle actually happens, that miracle is really a miracle that the seed does. The Word does what you and I cannot do. It is the miracle of regeneration. It is the Word of God. And we don't know how that is, do we? In another parable, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like unto a man who sows seeds in a field, and then he goes and sleeps. And after a number of sleeps, he comes back and he sees that there is growth, but he doesn't understand how it happens. And I don't understand how you can have one little seed of something that is very small and you plant it and then you get 30 or 40 or 100 back. I don't understand that. I don't understand how the Holy Spirit of God works in a heart and brings about conversion or regeneration. I don't understand that, but I do know that the Word does its work, and we are born again by the Word of God. And so God often uses very imperfect sowers. I love that story. You know, in the 1800s, there was a great preacher in England by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. One time when he was about 18 years old, as I remember the story, Spurgeon went to a church, and it was snowing so hard, he trudged through the snow, and it snowed so much that the pastor never made it to the church himself. So a layperson stood up and read the phrase from Isaiah, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." He read that text a couple of times, made a few comments, and that was it. And that word stuck in Spurgeon's heart and soul and led him to conversion. It's not a matter of saying, oh, I don't witness because I don't have all the answers or I'm not polished. No, what we need to do is to give people the Word of God. Now there's a third lesson. Only God can take the soil and change its consistency. Only God can really take the soil and change it. Because a question you should be asking in this message is, what about the hard soil? Can it ever be plowed so that it becomes soft and pliable? The answer is yes. We should never think that somebody is locked into hardness. God is able to take soil and change it. Now, one of the things I learned, and Colin Smith preached on this passage, and he brought it out, and I totally agree with him, is that in those days, what they would do is to seed the Word of God, or seed the seeds, I should say, and broadcast it over a piece of land. And only after that did they plow it. They didn't plow it ahead of time. They plowed it afterwards. And so they plowed it under so that it would begin to grow. Now here's the reason why you and I should be witnessing and sharing the Word of God. Is that as we give it out to people, we have no idea when God may decide to plow, whose life he may begin to plow up, so that they can receive the Word of God. Maybe they can't when we give it to them, but the time may come when they will. And how does God do that? Well, I don't know all the ways that God does it, but I do know that there are times when a person feels as if he needs God, maybe an awareness of God. It may be tragedy. Somebody comes into your room, if a doctor comes into your room and says, you know, you've got 6 months to live, that may cause you to begin to think, you know, my heart has been hard toward God, but maybe I should listen to God's word. God comes along and plows. And the reason that you and I should sow seed is we do not know where he will plow next.
Yes, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. You do not know where God will plow next. That neighbor of yours, that relative that seems to be so hard to the gospel, let me ask you, have you planted seeds in their life? I don't mean if you have become obnoxious. I hope that you haven't done that. But as I mentioned in the message, it's important to try to challenge people to at least read the Bible. Let's find ways that we can get the Word of God into people's hearts. Have them read the Gospel of John. And then respond to this simple question, who is Jesus according to John? Well, I hope that you continue to listen to Running to Win right here next time.
Erwin Lutzer and more of Getting Conversion Right, the first in a series from the parables he's calling You Can't Redo Life. To bring a person to Christ takes seed, a sower, and receptive soil. Next time, final thoughts on a well-known parable. All 10 parts of You Can't Redo Life can be yours on CD, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.